From Lubbock to Laredo, El Paso to Houston, and Dallas to Brownsville, we're Talking Texas with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour. From Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis. Without a liberal corporate management muzzle or leash, our Lone Star story of the day, when advocates and media warn about public school teacher turnover, they seem to almost always in my review of the press, refuse to ask or address the key question. Turnover's high compared to what? There's another big story that similar to what you always see, this time out of Austin. So I went and did a little work on that to give you a comparison. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. You truckers and fleet owners, Allied Compliance Services is your best friend in compliance with DOT testing regs. They'll be your third-party administrator. Make sure that clearinghouse you have to do is all correct. Reach the best in compliance at alliedcompliance.com. The feds are going after Texas on the border security program that Abbott's been running, and locals in Texas are pressing Abbott to actually do something meaningful instead of his theater security program. We've got some new polling and Attorney General Paxton lawsuits update. Listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. Travis County District Attorney will not sue Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton over his January 6th records. You know, he was with Trump in Washington. The Travis County DA's office has said they won't go forward on that. The DA's office said that a bunch of newspapers sued. The Dallas Morning News, Austin American Statesman, Fort Worth Star, Telegram, Houston Chronicle, and San Antonio Express News went to the DA trying to get them to sue the Attorney General over, I think, his personal phone records or something, but while he was in D.C. for January 6th, of course, trying to drum up more stories that somehow officials were involved in an insurrection, never mind they were a mile away at the Ellipse for a speech. Anyway, they said they won't sue because the newspapers, the journalists that requested the records, refused to testify in court. And the papers are trying to claim, well, that's to protect their sources. Really? I mean, all you have to testify to is that you couldn't get records you requested. I mean, you don't have to explain why you were requesting them. Anyway, the general counsel, Austin Kinghorn for Paxton, called the allegations meritless. I tend to agree. Texas AG Paxton moves to dismiss state bar lawsuit over his challenge to Biden's victory. This is more of these political suits filed by the liberals that run the state bar of Texas. This reported by Chuck Lindell and the Austin American Statesman today. The grievance process should not be abused to suppress disfavored views or retaliate against political expression, Paxton told State District Judge Casey Blair of Kaufman County, who was assigned to hear the complaint. Legal fights about petition that he filed, along with a whole bunch of other states, with the Supreme Court to look into this, void the electoral count in at least four swing states in that 2020 election. And the liberals that run the state bar have decided that the attorney general doesn't have the right to act when he acts in a way they don't like. So they went after him. The AG made the argument, when an elected officer represents the sovereign interest of the state, any attempt by the state bar functionaries to attack such elected officers, in fact, an attack on the will of the people, effectively disenfranchising voters by taking away their control over their attorney general, which is true. Remember, you may not like it when it's a Democrat, but we have the redress there at the ballot box, you see. In addition, Paxton told the judge, the lawsuit violates Constitution's separation of powers doctrine by allowing the state bar, an agent of the judicial branch, to interfere with the AG, an attorney general, which is a member of the executive branch. To impose such sanction on the attorney general, indeed to further subject the attorney general to the burden, cost, and indignity of the proceeding, would unduly interfere with the executive branch's effectual exercise of its constitutionally assigned powers. He's right on all this. Whether the judge will rule that way, who knows? Lawsuit was from the Commission for Lawyer Discipline, run over by the state bar liberals, said Paxton should be reprimanded because when he told the Supreme Court in the petition that that there was fraud in the election, that was dishonest. Because, of course, we all know that there was no dishonesty or fraud anywhere. I mean, this is their attitude. This is insane. And, of course, my attitude is, like they said, his petition contained unsupported claims. And I guess for lawyer conduct, you know, you can be sanctioned for lying to the court. The problem here is it wasn't a lie, but... my question for the state bar is, so should we discipline every district attorney who loses a case before a judge or jury because the judge or jury found their claims, the evidence presented, insufficient? I mean, come on. Paxson's right in noting they singled him out. 17 other states supported the position, and 2 Supreme Court justices said they would not have rejected the complaint. And Paxton pointed out these facts render the bar's disciplinary action here all the more shocking. Paxton also rejected claims he lacked proof of election fraud, saying that because the Supreme Court rejected the petition after only 4 days, there was no opportunity to develop the factual record or legal theories. Right. But there was plenty of widely reported sources and things. Anyway, that's an update on these 2 things. Looks like the open records things going down the... drain in spectacular fashion from the big newspapers, and my guess is Paxton will get this state bar lawsuit dismissed. Maybe not. You never know about the judge. It is ridiculous, however. That gunman up in the Tony North Shore, Chicagoland suburb of Highland Park, we've learned more about all that today. He was planning a second attack in Wisconsin and demonstrating that once again, instead of the mental illness or the gun being responsible, it's very clear from reports today, he's talking, telling them all the details, telling cops everything he did. In other words, he's bragging about it. It's this seeking fame. And remember who brought you this culture of infamy being the same, being infamous, being the same as famous. And no wonder the liberals don't want to talk about it. Nicholas Balassi at Just the News had a really good piece on this about how the history of this guy and the weapons purchases raise serious questions whether any of the Democrat gun laws actually work. And he went into some detail on that. Illinois has a red flag law, and this guy had actually had police proceedings before. They visited his home in 2019 and seized weapons with his parents. He was still able to go buy the weapons, all kinds of, and the Highland Park has a ban on semi-automatic weapons. So their little utopianist ideas clearly didn't work. There was a piece in the Abilene media, I saw it at KRBC, how the state of Texas Veterans General Land Office representative has come and approached the county commissioners to try to take over responsibilities of the state veterans cemetery. It's kind of interesting because it's not even in Taylor County. I understand it's in Jones County. Although this report at KRBC and KTAB's had another big concern, which is why Jones County and the city, here it is. Both Jones County, which is a small municipality, and the city of Abilene, what do you reporters not know that Jones County is a county? It's not a municipality? Anyway, just odd stuff in the story. The lesson on this is real simple. If the state's going to build Texas State Veterans Cemeteries, they need to continue to run them, operate them, and fund them through the legislature. And I know some people there were talking about dumping it back in the local jurisdiction. No, they're giving you the option. They're not dumping it on you by statute. The real point, though, is that the state needs to operate and maintain these cemeteries, or they shouldn't have ever built them to begin with. So what are we seeing? Vestiges of still of Bush running the General Land Office? I'm not really sure, but frankly, they're state veteran cemeteries. They need to be operated by the state, and that's it, period. And local government shouldn't mess with this and let it be a warning for new such facilities if the state doesn't want to take care of what it builds.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
Pratt on Texas Listener Club member Tom from Wichita Falls wrote, I just returned from Costa Rica. I went there on your suggestion and cannot agree with you more. This was the best dental experience ever. I had a good bit of work done and Dr. Zuniga was able to get it all done in one day. The amount of care and attention was unbelievable. From the work itself and the follow-up to make sure everything was great before I went home made this a great experience. While root canals and crowns are not fun, this was the way to do it, Tom says. Thank you for recommending Dr. Zuniga in Costa Rica. I certainly will be referring friends and family. Friends, you can learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dento Care, my dentist, by the way, by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Go to prattontexas.com. You'll see the banner with Dr. Zuniga's beautiful picture. Click on it, and you can read all about it. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Now, a man who understands that elected officials work for us. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Loaded up today. Want to take a quick look at Texas history, sponsored by our friends at USA Investigations, who provide all types of investigative and security services. They even do, you know, financial fraud investigations, that kind of thing. Learn more, learn about their team, and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. In 1861, on the 6th of July in San Antonio, the Order of the Sons of Hermon in the state of Texas was founded. It eventually outpaced the whole country and separated and became its own lodge. In Dallas, Dr. Pepper Company was incorporated this date, 1923. And now its incorporators would probably be absolutely disgusted and ashamed at the last 15, 20 years of advertising campaigns of that. Dr. Pepper Zero is pretty good, but boy, those ads, whoo, makes me not want to drink it. 1933, the town of Tomball was incorporated. In 1935, residents were given 90 years of free water and natural gas in exchange for oil drilling rights, so mineral rights under their lots. In 1984, President Reagan addressed the General Assembly of the 1984 Texas Bar Association Convention. And in 1989, the U.S. Army destroyed its last Pershing 1A missiles at an ammunition plant in Karnak, Texas. Dismantling was under the terms of the 1987 INF agreement, the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. That's your look at Texas history. We've got another Texas history item that's been going on since New Mexico became a state. It was a territory, and you know, much later than Texas. And that's this fight over water in the Rio Grande. This case I have covered in detail over the years. This is the latest part where they've put in New Mexico, they're pumping from the saturation of the riverbed, pumping with wells just outside the riverbed, which of course reduces the river flow. This has ended up at the Supreme Court because it's a direct case between states. The state Supreme Court appointed some kind of special master to negotiate this. And Texas isn't talking, but New Mexico's attorney general announced yesterday that a special master appointed by the courts cleared the way for ongoing negotiations and set a date in July for a status update. If they can come to agreement on this, they want to go to the next phase of the trial, which would be later in the year. The AP reports that, you know, all this less water, it's because of climate change, which of course is insanity. The Rio Grande watershed has been drought, a desert to flooding since we've been here as a people. And it's got a little reprieve this year, water flows, because the monsoon season came early and thankfully squelched those big forest fires over in New Mexico. But that issue is moving along. Amarillo voters, Amarillo leadership, which claims to be Republican but are not, and a lot of their people there are really Democrats all the way. We've known this for years, including the mayor. James Quintero at Texas Public Policy Foundation pointing out everybody better be taking a look at this because it's like CO bonds. It's another new abuse. There's a video making the rounds online showing what's going on in Amarillo. In May, the city council voted 4-1 to approve an ordinance authorizing and issuing $260 million in tax and revenue notes to fund the Amarillo Civic Center project. Now, that sparked outrage because just a little bit before that, the voters rejected a $275 million bond proposition for the same project, and the elected people didn't care. By the way, it was a 61-39% vote on that. Wasn't close. But these people who think there are betters, that they ought to win it, you know, run everything despite, you know, even if the people say no, now they're issuing TRAN notes, tax and revenue anticipation notes for this. And those are defined by the state as short-term loans the issuer uses to address cash flow needs created when expenditures must be incurred before tax or other revenues are received. So this is clearly a complete abuse of law, just like the CO bonds are. And they're pointing out, everybody be paying attention because others will start doing the same thing, my friends. Now, a little bit more update on that Texas Supreme Court issue that over the weekend where they ruled that the Harris County judge, they set aside the Harris County judge's stay on enforcement of existing law that goes way back to the 1920s in Texas and was in force until 1973 when the decision on Roe v. Wade was issued. Said you couldn't enforce it, you know, this judge. There's a little more background to this. Isaiah Mitchell at the Texan pointed out that in the court's July 1st order, Harris County District Court Judge who issued the restraining order, they hint may have exceeded her authority, says the Supreme Court did not write an opinion to accompany its order. However, the justices asked both parties to submit briefs by tomorrow regarding whether state district courts can block enforcement of criminal laws, especially in light of a decision the Supreme Court made in 1994, which was that big decision over sodomy laws, where they stated that civil courts only have jurisdiction over civil issues, meaning they can't enjoin criminal laws unless that application bleeds over into civil issues, and that's because we have a bifurcated court system, obviously, with a separate Supreme Court for criminal matters. So there was more to that. Uvalde mayor is calling aid to grieving Uvalde families insufficient, but what they're really doing is claiming they sent a letter to the governor yesterday asking the governor to redirect the authority over the aid to these families, Uvalde Together Resiliency Center. The governor put that in the hands of the district attorney, Christina Mitchell, but the officials there, Roland Gutierrez, state senator, SD19, and he's just a piece of work, to be kind. He's crazy. Don McLaughlin, mayor of City Uvalde. Part of the letter says, in the past month, we've heard numerous troubling reports from our constituents about the UTRC and district attorney, including the failure to timely deliver victims' compensation resources to those in need. One family was in danger of having their power cut off in their home the same time they were praying and caring for their daughter in the hospital. Other families have been offered a meager bereavement benefit for only 2 weeks of pay or something. Anyway, they're just saying it's not working, and they want the governor, even though we put $5 million of taxpayer money in it, they want the governor to move that to somebody else's authority, and maybe that's well needed. I just think it's funny, Roland Gutierrez, and how many of these, this tribalism about don't attack us, and yet if you actually look at what's going on, the folks in Uvalde have been at each other's from the beginning. I mean, from the very beginning of this, because it's clear there was some serious incompetence. And then after the fact, maybe we're learning of other incompetence, at least in dealing with monies in the situation there in the South Texas dry and hot city of Uvalde. New poll out from the Texas Tribune and University of Texas has Abbott at 45, O'Rourke at 39. So O'Rourke's still below 40, but they're really excited because this is a smaller gap than W ousted Ann Richards with. And it's down to 6 points. And unfavorability ratings for Abbott are as high as they've ever been, 44% according to the poll. Okay, but don't read too much into this, folks. The real interesting thing in that poll was that Cornyn's approval numbers are 24%, which is lower than Biden's. No kidding. No kidding. Cornyn down to 24%, lower than Biden's unapproval. Biden's only at 35%. The generic U.S. Congress percent approval is 18%, and Cornyn's at 24%. Michael Quinn Sullivan at the Texas Scorecard thought that was interesting enough to write a piece about it today, and I think it is. Back to this O'Rourke-Abbott thing. I think Abbott will probably win by more than 6 points, but remember, I'm the one that was telling you at National Review, picked it up and said that I'm the guy that tells it like it is, not the wishful thinking. Texas is a 4 to 6 point Republican state that's really never changed. We got massive population growth that could tighten that, but it was 4 to 6 point Republican state. It's just the Democratic Party completely imploded and didn't offer up real candidates. So I don't think there's anything surprising in this polling. We'll be back in a moment with more on Pratt on Texas.
Patience is a virtue. Pratt on Texas continues after this.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Mike and Jason find and rehab good condition, good reputation work trucks that can help you and your business. Half ton all the way up to 2 ton work trucks. Mike and Jason are hands-on, finding trucks and working on them in the shop. Call them at 806-687-1115 or go to specialtytrucksoflubbock.com to get Mike or Jason's cell number. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Pratt believes the best way to ensure limited government is to limit the number of libs and rhinos who get elected to office. Don't worry, he'll tell you who they are. Now, more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Our Lone Star story of the day, when advocates and media warn about public school teacher turnover, people, you know, leaving the profession, they seem to almost always refuse to ask or address the key question, which is compared to what? Our Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing affordable turnkey drug and alcohol testing programs for business and institutions, and of course, truckers dealing with the DOT. There you go, to third-party administrator for that. Reach the best in compliance at alliedcompliance.com. All right, my friends, here's the point. The reason this came up today, and it's funny how the spirit works, because I got this one story. I'm reading it this morning in detail in the Austin American-Statesman. And all of a sudden, a bunch of other things pop up in the stack, too, that go along with it. The story's by Rebecca Johnson. It was out today in the Austin American-Statesman. Quote, I had to get out, end quote. High numbers of teachers, staffers resigning from Austin schools. And they go into detail. Of course, they begin it with the, you know, this is the style everybody's been taught the last 25 years. Find an individual to tell their story. It's more compelling. I wish we'd just go back to facts reporting, but nevertheless, they talk about how there's pay increases and bonuses for the upcoming school year in Austin ISD, and how that some people say those are that they're an insult almost, you know, and it's your typical story. You see it all the time. There are a few things to say, though, unique to Austin in this. The reason they've got a pay problem is that their cost of living's high. Their cost of living is super high, not just because of growth there, but because of the policies adopted by these same liberal voters. Extraordinarily high taxes in everywhere, every way, every kind of local regulation that makes housing cost much, much more. And, you know, this is your typical deal. The people vote for this stuff, and then they get mad that they can't afford all this utopianism that they vote for. But this story contained a little bit of of the nuts and bolts talking to the people at the school district, and it's the same nuts and bolts story I see in all of our towns and communities, in cities, in the big papers, in the press, time and time again. I see it almost every year, and it's all about how the retention rates, you know, the turnover. And in this case, they're pointing out retention rates are better in Austin than around the schools around Central Texas. Okay, forget who's better or whatever. Comparing to other schools has its place when you're managing a school, but it doesn't in the overall question. And they point out during the 2021 school year, the most recent for which data is available, Austin schools saw a teacher retention rate of 86.9%, compared with 85.2% for the region and 85.7% for the state, according to Texas Academic Performance Reports. So what you're really looking at, folks, is about a 13% turnover rate or non-retention rate in Austin public schools. And of course, what's the narrative of the story that you see here and everywhere else? Well, and this story actually has a whole section about how Republicans, literally all Republicans, including I guess the ones who are teachers and whose spouses are teachers and children are teachers, but Republicans in general, all the legislators absolutely hate teachers and are trying to destroy their lives and on and on and on. But if you actually read this piece carefully, what you notice is most of it from the people they talk to, it's a discussion of the culture within Austin ISD, run by left-wing, far left-wing liberals, for left-wing liberals, with probably almost every administrator being a left-wing liberal, and yet they're not happy. And they're not treated right by their administration and all of that. So, you know, that's another point to make out of this stuff. But let's talk about this. What do we see that's consistent across these stories? It's always that, well, so many people are leaving the profession. There's a huge piece today in the Washington Post, maybe yesterday, I don't know, our good friend Matt Crow sent it to me. Caught in the culture wars. Teachers are being forced from their jobs, and they try to balance it with teachers who were conservative, traditional people, and their traditional viewpoints, they got fired for those, and far-left people. And of course, in the story, they think they're being balanced, except they call far-left extremism, which is anti-status quo, as being, they refer to that as just, you know, normal liberalism, which of course it's not. It's anti-status quo. These people are the radicals. It's not radical to try to support the status quo, or at least in the sense of traditional values. I did like in that WAPO story how Bonnie Snyder at the Foundation for Individual Rights points out, though, that, look, this is a little bit different than in colleges, in fact. In public schools, you're compelled to attend, and it says it's government speech, adding teachers are hired to deliver state-approved curriculum. When teachers veer from those guidelines, you're on thinner ice when it comes to free speech. That part of the story was exactly right, Bonnie Snyder at FIRE, Foundation for Individual Rights and Education. Now, I want to point out, though, that we see these stories all the time, do we not? Oh, we're short of teachers. And there's always been a shortage for example, people who teach French or whatever, you know, language teachers. That's kind of obvious why. The other part is there's always been a massive shortage for people teaching math and sciences. There's just a lot fewer people interested in math and sciences. Our universities now, all of our university programs are almost completely dominated by foreigners, not American students. They just don't go into the field. Nobody ever wants to talk about that. They just want to tell you how there's a shortage. And then sometimes there are shortages. You have growth or other things, people leave. But I have heard used for justification to just hand out money to people, you know, including 80% of them that never even questioning quitting their jobs. We've got to hand tons of money to people because, oh, the teacher turnover. And I've seen headlines like this all summer already, and of course the unions pump it out. Oh, well, everybody's fleeing from the profession. They're abandoning the profession. It's all because these Republicans and Democrats and big liberal states won't pay them enough. So I actually went to the Bureau of Labor Statistics and looked up today the turnover rates. What did we say the statewide retention rate is? About 85.7%. So you're only looking at a 14% average in the state, and it's less than that in Austin for turnover. Do you know what the turnover is in total across all industries in 2020? Let me give you 2016 through 2020. Starting in 2016, 42%, 43%, 44%, 45% in 2019, 57% in 2020. In private sector, 47, 47, 49, 49, 63. In mining and logging, let's just take 2020, 54% turnover rate. Construction, 68%. Manufacturing, 44%. That's right, even those factory jobs. Durable goods, 41%. Non-durable goods, 48%. Trade and transportation, 60% turnover rate. Wholesale trade, 37%. Retail trade, 69%. Transportation and warehousing, 59%. Do you hear it? Government, 24%. 18, 18, 18, 18, and 24%, which is always the lowest. Government turnover. But even government turnover is significantly larger across the country than it is for teachers, which are government too, but you get the point, do you? In fact, the total turnover rate, if you look at just voluntary turnover, it's 25%, and when you get rid of layoffs and stuff like that, 25%. Well, actually, our schools aren't anything close to that. We're talking in the teens. 14, 13 to 15, a little less than 15% is the turnover rate. So it's significantly less, more than a third less, the turnover rate for teachers in Texas than the National Statistical Bureau of Labor Statistics voluntary turnover rate across everything, including government, by the way. So that brings the number down because their turnover rate is so massively lower than the private sector. And so why, when you read these stories, do they never ask that question? Maybe the reporters are just dumb and know nothing about business and economics, probably. But I think there's more to it than that. They don't want you to know. The fact is, we don't have to throw money at something to keep people when they keep people at a much greater rate than most every other business.
He gets so much in during the show, you can handle a short break. Pratt's back in a moment.
You are lucky. You know that? Every Thursday through Saturday for lunch and dinner and Sunday for that perfect traditional after church lunch, you don't have to go far to enjoy homemade, fresh, mouthwatering fried chicken and chicken fried steak, fabulous veggies, served family style with yeast rolls and unbeatable homemade desserts. The catfish is fantastic too. Where? At Pratt's favorite, Bell's Chicken Dinner House at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene, of course. Visit Bell's Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
At Thacker Jewelry, we believe in hometown service. When you walk through our doors, we want you to feel welcome and at home. An incredible story lives inside each and every piece of jewelry at Thacker's. As a West Texas jeweler, we want to help you express your love and your feeling for your family, for your loved ones, and for the generations to come.
Hello, what do you say? It's a Thacker Jewelry kind of day.
Texas Battery is mobile. Texas Battery's mobile service can install a new battery for you at your location, even by appointment. Have an urgent situation? Call Texas Battery. Get the correct vehicle battery from the experts and a switchover without a power loss from Texas Battery. And remember, Texas Battery will come to you. You'll get Texas-sized service from Texas Battery. Texas starts with Texas Battery. Learn more at TexasBattery.com. TexasBattery.com.
No personality worship here. Here is your host, Robert Pratt, with more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. A lot of border news. I had a lot in the stack yesterday, just could not get to it, and there's more today. As expected, the AP reporting that the ProPublica and the Texas Tribune have gotten hold of documents showing that the Department of Justice, Biden's, no longer fair. It's political. Ever since Obama, under Eric Holder, the DOJ is just an outright political arm, which is really could lead to the downfall of our country. And that's not an overstatement, because the rule of law being respected and everything simply depends upon citizen cooperation. It's not something that can be forced on people in the whole, in the main. A lawyer for the state police agency acknowledged they got documents from, DPS or somebody, state police, acknowledging there's a federal probe of Abbott's Operation Lone Star. And the only thing that I particularly like about this AP piece is they put at the very bottom of it, they stumbled into some truthful reporting, talking about all the spending, billions from state taxpayers through Abbott's office. Quote, the efforts have not stopped a recent increase in crossings at the southern border. Authorities stopped migrants from crossing illegally 523,000 times between January and May, up from 417,000 the same span a year ago. And in fact, in my stack of stuff, you've got the numbers where Operation Lone Star has been headquartered from the beginning, having massive people. I mean, it's not slowed it at all. In other words, pardon me for that, folks. I just collapsed my armrest on my chair and it made a lot of noise. Governor Abbott's program has just been a complete waste of money. It's theater security at this point for the most part when it comes to what he claimed it would do, which would be to, they won't come across and they see us here and, you know, see some barriers and some razor wire and all of that. Well, the people down there in the middle of it, little Kinney County, they've had enough, because even though they've been the first people to step up and cooperate with the governor, it's not working. And that's the big story out today out of Brackettville. Kinney County's judge and their commissioner's courts declared an existence of an invasion along the border, and they are asking the governor to recognize and invoke the constitutional point about an invasion. Five other counties spoke in support of that declaration. County officials from Uvalde, Kinney, Terrell, Medina, Burnett, and Goliad counties met in Brackettville yesterday afternoon and put out this letter to the governor. We're taking these steps in hopes of encouraging our governor to acknowledge the existence of an invasion on our border with Mexico and take the necessary actions to preserve and protect the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Texas. The point is, Operation Lone Star is not slowing anything down, and it hasn't from the beginning. And we have all kinds of video of even when you and I had to pay for razor wire and temporary borders, our own guard and our own DPS people simply helped these people, literally helped them through the wire, get them over and give them protection and get them all lined up to be turned over to the Border Patrol, who then, of course, you know, catch and release. And you had the lieutenant governor appearing, Dan Patrick, on Fox News, as he is wont to do regularly, said the state's being invaded, and he said that constitutionally gives us, the state, the power to remove migrants from the country. Constitution gives Texas the power to put hands on people and send them back. And I don't know, governor's not interested in that, because he'll probably, yeah, the feds are not going to go along with it. Don't get me wrong. But we ought to at least go that route and push the issue. No, the feds aren't going to go along with it, because it's a tremendous assertion, although albeit completely constitutional, a tremendous assertion of states' rights against this overreaching degradation of federalism from an all-powerful central government. So the fact of the matter is, even the people that have been the governor's big advocates are still pointing out nothing's working. You know, and I had this piece yesterday from over the weekend at Breitbart, Texas, exclusive, 1,700 migrants arrested in Texas border town in one day. Where? Eagle Pass. You know, right there, Del Rio and Eagle Pass area, dead center for Operation Lone Star, from the beginning. How's that Operation Lone Star working? The Border Patrol source, not authorized to speak to the media, told Breitbart, Texas, most of the encounters on Thursday were single adult migrants, not families. Largest group were arrested, more than 400 of the 528 of the group were single adult males and females. Nearly half the group came from Venezuela. We had another one of these folks running from police. They'd been stopped, and then he bailed out and tried to run away, and he got smashed by another car coming down the highway. Just stuff like this going on. How about this? Exclusive to Breitbart. 476,000 gotaways recorded in 2022 so far. That's fiscal year 2022. It started in October. That's right, 476,000. That means the ones they had eyes on or other reason to believe were there, but they did not arrest. So you take these giant numbers of people caught. They had another story here. Border Patrol agents apprehended nearly 192,000 who illegally crossed from Mexico in June. Just from June, in the month of June, 192,000. 476,000 gotaways. They don't release those numbers to the public, but they've been leaking them out. They use it on, they record it daily based on evidence collected by a range of technology systems and aerial drones that capture images. So those people are just completely in the country, and that's just the ones that they saw or had evidence of. You can figure it's much higher, probably much higher than 500,000. And then we've got the ones we're interdicting. $180,000, $200,000 a month, something like that. How's that Operation Lone Star working? Hadn't slowed anything down, and yet we're being bled for money that could be used in other parts of the state. And it's just nasty. You know, there was a piece by Sinclair Media, McMullen County, an undocumented migrant, meaning an illegal alien, was rescued after she was found under the hood of a pickup truck right next to the engine over the weekend. It was in the triple digits outside, and they had her body being stuffed inside the engine bay of a Ford truck. Deputies there caught that. These stories are in the media every day, and Breitbart reports on them to their credit every day. And I agree with Goliad Sheriff Roy Boyd. 200 miles from the border, he did an interview with Charlotte Cuthbertson, who's a really good writer at the Epoch Times. The headline was out. It was on a lot of the media integration, press integration sites online. Open border is transforming America to Marxist state, and he talks about what's going on here. We get no help. We're not set up for this. The federal government's supposed to take care of it. It's bringing a massive amount of crime. Then just look at the sheer numbers of this stuff. And he pointed out how Lyndon Johnson told the DNC, remember the Democrat National Committee, the Democrats were the party of segregation. When we got rid of all that, and he started the, quote, war on poverty. He told the Democrat National Party and all those people said there was a lot of pushback because, remember, the bigots came out of the Democratic Party. Why would we give those people something for nothing? In other words, this big, you know, multi-generational welfare state. And LBJ told them, because you'd have them voting Democrat for 200 years, Boyd said, paraphrasing that infamous quote attributed to LBJ. And it goes on. This is the point. The nation is being invaded for the political purpose. There's some business people that like it too, some of these business coalitions and libertarians that like it and think, oh, it's just free movement of labor and all this stuff. Oh, bull, you're not a nation if you don't enforce your borders. And the fact of the matter is the nation is being transformed and it's being done purposely. And Operation Lone Star, which is funny that the feds are investigating that, is doing nothing to stop it. They're just looking for political points to score about civil rights violations, which, by the way, I think unquestionably from court rulings already is the case. But nevertheless, is Abbott going to actually do something about the border? Is he holding this as a August, September, October surprise for the governor's race? Who knows? But the fact of the matter is there is an invasion, and while he ignores it and wastes our money, nothing is being done. Blame D.C., but also blame your own leadership. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Proudhon Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.